Succession number 22079, Reel 9.
Mr. Chamberlain, Reel 9. Can you remember what the disturbance was in the pictures?
I couldn't say. I knew there was suddenly a scuffle started, and what it was, I had no idea. And we didn't get to know either what it was, but we finished up outside.
So, you know, and somebody had annoyed the guard or something?
That's it, yeah.
Was that the only time he got annoyed with you?
Yeah, it's only the one and only time, yeah.
Now, Mr. O'Sullivan's talked about the Hitler Youth being attacked by aircraft when they were camped near the village. Do you remember anything about that?
No, I don't remember that. I've forgotten if I've known anything about it, but he got quite a bit of information in where he worked.
Now, as the war was drawn to a close, I mean, obviously you were in eastern Germany.
Yeah.
The Russians were coming one way and the Americans were coming the other. Can you remember any examples of what the Germans thought about this, as this was, you know, once they realised that that the Russians were very close to them?
When they realised that Americans were coming and Russians coming, they just packed up, just left.
The Germans did as well?
They just throw their rifles outside the road and that.
What about the civilians in the village, people like the two brothers?
They was all looking, stood at the doors, looking at us and all that, and they didn't say anything. But maybe they'll think in England they'll win in or something like that. I might have thought of that, but no trouble with them, really.
Now, as you know, the end came closer, you were still just working away, just normally. Everybody was just still working in the various jobs.
Yeah, we were working away till night. I forget what day it was, but when we went home at night, we all got to... Well, I had to pack up quick.
Were you tipped off that you were going to be moving the next day? Were you tipped off? Did anybody say? Did you know in advance, or did the guard just tell you?
The guard, he went with us so far, but then when he saw Americans, that he just threw his rifle away and went back out of the road. But whether Russians got him out, I don't know.
Now, apparently, two of the men, Tom Tunney and Ben Lewis, they stopped behind. Do you remember anything about that?
Ah, well, see, that I didn't know then, because we'd already gone, and naturally we thought Ben and all left. But evidently, he stayed behind.
Mm-hmm. Now, so, when you were told you were going to move away from the village... What did people think? Were you worried, or did you think this is...
No. They just got come and told us to pack up. Ruskies are here, and he might still want to watch the Americans.
Mm-hmm. And so how many men were in the group? Was that the other...
About in our group?
Yeah.
Well, as far as I know, the biggest part of us went.
Mm-hmm. Now...
You couldn't keep together. It was impossible, really, but me and Alfie and me managed to keep together.
How long do you think you were on the march for?
Oh, now that I remember one time we were on the march and it was getting dark, and the guards told us to go into this wood. You know, but when we got out wood, it was about a foot deep in water, all over. And we had to stop in there. You couldn't lay down. Couldn't put your greatcoat or a blanket, you couldn't, it was impossible. So we had to stand up. And that's when I got a drink for Al, because he was jiggered again. And I got him a Dixie of water. I kept shouting, Alf, it's dark. Alf, where are you? He said, I'm here, Nev, I'm here. I used to go towards him and go in it water. And there he was leaning up against a tree. So I gave him a drink of this water. And it revived him again. And we stopped there walking up. Well, you couldn't walk about, you just stood there. Oh, terrible night.
So about how many days do you think you were marching?
Oh, then we marched up. I think maybe 3 or 4 days you were on the move.
Did you have any food?
I rightly say.
Did you have to take your own food with you?
Yeah, we took what we could.
And that was like the remains of your Red Cross parcels and so
on? And it kept us going, they say. But when we bumped into the Americans... Oh dear me, we've got loads of these PK rations. Oh, everybody was chewing away for, everybody had chewing gum.
Now, there was obviously the small group of you from Bachmiederberg on the march. Did you link up with other POWs on the march before you met the Americans?
Because you didn't know them. But,
so about how many were there?
Oh, hundreds of us, hundreds. It come from different camps.
All in the eastern zone?
Yeah, all the little working camps had got together and were marching towards the Americans.
What about German soldiers at this point? Did you say anything of them?
No, we didn't see any at all. Well, we saw them looking out at windows and out of their doors and all that, but we didn't associate with them.
But the German troops that were on the march, because obviously they were retreating this...
That's right, they were. But then, as you were marching along the road, you'd see... Well, it wasn't a march, it was just amble. And we saw piles of rifles laid at side of the road. You know, that high,
about four foot high
of rifles. Then go a bit further on, same again. Oh, they packed up, they'd thrown the ammunition and that away.
And during these 3 or 4 days, were you troubled by air attacks at all?
I think there was some machine gunning going off. In fact, I think we did hear later that quite a few got killed with this strafing. We don't know what plane it was, but... We didn't know that we took it that someone got killed.
Now, apparently, Pat O'Sullivan and some of the other men left the group at some stage. Can you remember them leaving?
You were not like the same as us. He might have been with us, Mike. Pat and Alfie, we all went and we joined up with somebody. And then lads who you was with, you got split up and you got somebody else. A real shambles, really.
About how long was the guard with you on the march before you separated from him?
Oh, it wasn't long. There were guards when we set up, but when we'd been marched a couple of days, there weren't a guard at all.
And he just gave up on
it
after that?
Took the rook. Mm-hmm.
Did he say anything during this?
No, they just left. And we all swamped. We noticed that there's no guards. But see, we kept marching towards the Americans.
What was your first memory of meeting the Americans? What actually happened?
Well, Alf didn't realise it, but we saw these fellas and what are they doing? And they're dishing these K-rations out to lads, you know. So we went and got these K-rations, threw all sorts of candies in. Dear, oh dear.
How did you cope with all that food after... Having so little for so long.
We went to save it. We couldn't afford to be throwing it away. So we just saved some for another day.
Now, you were with the Americans.
Yeah.
What happened then?
Oh, they greeted us and all that, shook hands with us. Oh, we used to thanks very much for liberating us. Oh, yes. They were all right with yanks.
And where did you go with them? Where did they put you?
Well, they told us, he says, they told us to keep marching, he said, keep marching, you went the right way, and that was so we kept marching, and we came to a bridge that had been blown up, and we had to get across this river on all the rubble that had fallen off the bridge, we piled off. I don't know, that river, Mules or something like that, I think it was, and we got over the other side, and we're there for a day or two, till we had to march to aeroplane.
What happened on the other side? What was on the other side?
Well, the other side of the river. Well, I don't know. There's nothing really, but we marched to a aerodrome. I forget what they call it now. And we got loaded up. You know, the big bomber. We loaded up to shove one another up into a plane. And, I shoved Alfie up and somebody shoved me up, you know, like that. And there were about 30 of us, maybe. And
was this an American plane or a British
plane?
Yes,
an American plane, yeah. At least I'm saying American, I'm not right sure, really. But anyway, they gave us a lecture when we got on. Man, we sat anywhere. There's no seats. You sat on the floor, sat up anywhere. And they said, don't pull this wire. And don't pull that handle. don't do this, all red, marked in red, don't do it. He says, don't pull this one, swing tips will drop off. He says, oh, he said somewhere, he said, what for? He said, well, it's a raft. If all it see, it's a raft. So, oh, I don't know. That's it. So we left everything around. We just sat there like that.
Had you ever flown before?
No, that was the first time I'd flown. But we landed at Louvain, Brussels, near Brussels. And we got changed to another plane. And that flew us to Northolt. I think it was Northolt. And we landed there. And as we got off the plane, pointing to go up here. And the first thing we saw was a Salvation Army lass. She gave us a bag, razor, soap, shaving brush. I've still got shaving brush anyway. All kit for a good wash. And then went into the bathhouse, went to shave everything, not in your hair, went to shave and then got sproused up, new kit. Ooh, all kit we left. It might have had some bugs or lice in it, I don't know. But we got all new kit. We felt really lovely. New underwear, new everything. And we could have gone out if we wanted, but Alf and I decided, oh, so we'll stop, it's getting late anyway. So next morning we went to parade for pay. We got paid, and your warrant, and your money, your food coupons, all that. I think we got about 6 or 8 weeks, double rations. And then Sunday, on a Monday, we went to the station and got on a train and I came up to Leeds. And then lads dropped off in towns it went to, nearest their home. And off we went. I got off at Leeds and I went home.
Now, you were back in England after quite a few years away.
That's right, yeah.
Back what in impression did the place?
Oh, things had changed. Oh, but where I lived in Leeds, they'd had some bombing, a lot of property around our old fish shop had got blown out. And they never rebuilt there. But, of course, they've done since war, like now. And it was all strange somehow, I don't know. Instead of seeing sand, you were seeing houses. Yes, you'll experience.
Now, you were still with Alfie Granger.
Oh, aye, yeah.
Were there any of the other Bad Schmiedeberg men on the plane with you? Or had you separated from them by that point?
Want to see any more?
Yeah, no, when you obviously there was a group of you left Bad Schmiedeberg.
Yeah.
You're still with Alfie when you got to England.
Yeah.
Was there any other...
No, I didn't notice any more. It was such a shambles, you know. And, but however, it was stuck together. And, you know, when I went anywhere, I'll probably be later on saying that, when we went to Houndston, in Yeovil. And I called back and I think we had to go to Yeovil at a place called Houndston or something. And lo and behold, if I didn't bump into Alfie again.
Ah, well, we'll talk about that. So, you were back, you had 8 weeks' leave, you were back in England. What kind of physical shape were you in, do you think?
What, physical?
Yeah. Was your health okay?
Yeah, well, I lost some weight, mind you, but that was expected. But physical shape, I wasn't bad at all.
So, can you just describe coming back and meeting your mother and father again, how that worked?
Oh, right. Well, it's something like your dad with banners across the street, you know, welcome home boys, welcome home girls, all across the street, you know, and it was real welcome. And when I got home, I met mum and dad's, there was a crowd of folks outside. Well, I could hardly get through to my mum and dad, who stood at the front door. Anyway, I got through and, oh, it's home again. And of course, there were tears on both sides, I think. And that was it. And I got settled down into civilian life.
Ah, well, this is a bit later because you're still in the army. Now, while you'd been away, your sister Daisy had been running the chip shop.
That's right, yeah.
Now, you're back home on leave. what I'd like you to do is maybe just talk a little bit about the trouble she had running that kind of business during the war with rationing,
yeah.
And what kind of things you had to do to stay in business. Could you just describe some of those?
Well, my sister looked after the shop best way she could during time, but my and another sister, and she was working in, well, she had to go into tailoring, and she was working in tailoring, and she lived with my sister at the fish shop, because my sister's husband, he was called up at Royal Scots, he was in, and so they had a house, and there were my sister on her own, and my other sister on her own, so my one sister went to live at the shop, and she helped my sister at the shop as much as she could, because she just would carry on working. Anyway, they got through all right, and it's a real shambles when I go home somehow, you know, but anyway, we built it all up again.
What was the shambles? What was?
Well, houses round the back had all gone.
They'd been bombed?
Aye, and they were all back-to-back houses and all area. There's just our shop and a shop next door and a works canteen. They were all there, and then there were a gap.
What was the street where the ship shop was?
It was Olbeck Lane in Leeds.
Now, off the tip, we've talked a little, apparently that your sister had to have certain, you know, new recipes because there wasn't any fish. Could you talk about that?
I'm not with you, I'm sorry.
The fact that the shortage of fish and paper and on affected the shop. Could you talk about that? How that?
Well, she got a little bit of fish now and again. But she made fish cakes and, well, sausage cakes, sausage meat into scallops, and all that sort of stuff. Well, it was a bit of hard work for her, really.
Was the business was the still people keen to?
Oh, aye, yes. Yeah, they come, yeah. And, of course, when I come back, it was still short, but we built it up. And
what were you short of at this stage?
Well, short of everything, really.
But the times when the shop would have to shut because of
you see, you was rationed. You had to have a permit for this and a permit for other. But however, we struggled through and got it on its feet. And my sister retired. She was 65. She was older than me. She was 65 and she retired. No more. She finished. So I said, "What am I going to do now?" I said, "You're going up to your bungalow in Ripon there, and I'm going to stick here." So I thought, well, I can't do that, so I got a job. In fact, I got a job at Leeds Infirmary, and I was a storekeeper there, and then I got to be a supervisor, and then I retired. So that was it.
Now, I'm going to take us back a bit. That's getting you all the way to retirement. I'm going to take us back. You've come back to Leeds.
Yeah.
Your sister's running the chip shop. You're on leave, but you're still in the army.
Yeah.
Now, what did you think about that? The war with Japan's still going on.
Yeah.
What did you think about still being in the army?
Well, still being in the army at the shop. You mean, that's when I had my 8 weeks leave,
you're
I think.
You're on leave.
Well, I was just waiting for them to be called up again. So, when it came one day, when I was at the shop, report to Yeovil. Houndston camp, I think it was, I'm not right sure there. And I went there, got settled in, then I went and bumped into Elf. I says, "What are you doing?" He says, "I don't know what to report here." I thought, same as me, we're back together again. So we reported and we was there till we got sent to different units then.
What did you have to do at Yeovil? What was your duties there?
At Yeovil,
yeah.
We didn't do much at all. It was like sorting prisoners out.
So it was all POWs?
I think it was, yes.
Mm-hmm. And so it was like a grading centre?
Gradingers, yeah. Mm-hmm. We had to go for some exams and all that. And we got sorted out and I had to come up to, where was it now? Darlington, I think it was.
Now, before we get to that, were you medically examined at Yeovil?
Oh, yes.
And what was your grade and did they give you?
I was still A1.
And what about Alf?
And he was still at one as well.
Now, you met Alf again. Did you meet anybody else from your prisoner of war days?
And we're down at Yeovil. Well, we knew a few, not personally, not prisoners of war with us, but there were prisoners of war. They hadn't been prisoners of war.
So none of the men from Bad Schmiedeberg or Italy, except for Alf?
No, I never saw them, just Alfie.
Now, so you were regraded, you were A1. Yeah. You were sent up to Darlington. What were you doing? You were sent to Darlington. What were you doing there?
At where?
At Darlington.
Oh, driving. Oh, I got a job driving a paddery. I drove him about to where he wanted to go and visiting and all that. And he says, "Oh, Chamberlain," he says, one day he comes, "I'm going on leave. And will you take me to Darlington Station?" He says, "In a fortnight, be there to meet me, in another fortnight." He says, "And don't you let that car go to any other officer. You're responsible for it." So I thought, oh, right. So I went back up into Mountain Hall, Darlington it was. I went back up there and I thought, I'm here. So I can't let anybody have the car, he said, so I didn't. And I just kept it spick and span. And that was all I did there for a fortnight. And then when he come back, I was to take him to visit in, what now was it now? It's a Soldiers and Airmen's Fund. And we went visiting the wives of these people, kiddies and on hardship, and their husband was serving in the army. He went and visited and all that. And I took him all around these places. I even took him to the church where he was going to speak.
Can you remember what he was called?
Pardon?
Can you remember what he was called?
Pardon?
His name.
What's his name? I think of our officers that we had all captured.
Captain. So you were Green. You were assigned as his driver?
Yeah.
And what kind of conditions were you living in up in Darlington?
Oh, these people.
You mean, in Darlington, where were you billeted? What was it?
Oh, in huts. In army huts, like an army camp.
And were all the other people in the hut, were they all ex-POWs or were they not?
No, not so much. Some were, but I think we're all waiting for our old mob to come round, really. And then anyway, after Darlington, I went to Newcastle, Fenham Barracks.
What were you doing there?
Nothing. And I went there on Saturday night. I went with the wagon. I wasn't driving now. I'd finished me driving. But I got a ride into Newcastle with another army lorry. It was going there. So I went and I reported in. Booped in. I said, "Oh," I said, "right, Chairman." He says, "You're on telephone duty tonight." I said, "I don't think so." I said, "Oh, no, I'm not on duty anymore. I've finished duty till Monday." And he wanted me to take over his job as telephone operator whilst he could go out for the weekend. So I thought, well, I'm an old soldier, lad, and you don't kid me. So anyway, I didn't do it, and that was it. So I think it was a Monday morning, we had to go down to York, and there we got demobbed.
Now, you had a demob number. Can you explain what that was and how that worked?
What group I was?
Yeah, can you just explain what that meant?
I was group 30.
What does that mean?
Well, it means as you go in, you have a group, first in, first out. And Alfie was a bit older than me. Yeah, I think he was group 28. Well, I were a few months behind him, and I went at group 30 on June the 3rd, 1945. Hey, dear, oh, dear.
I'm sure that's not
1946. Pardon? 1946. Well, I was back at the shop. I got demobbed in 1945, June the 3rd. And I went back to the shop.
Now, could you just talk about the process of being day mobbed at York? What actually happened there?
Pardon?
What actually happened at York? You got to York.
In the shop?
No, what happened at York?
In the, the dispersal centre.
Yeah.
Well, we just found where you had to go, and you got your papers and went over to Chapel's dishing kit out, tried to, well, got a trilby hat on, and I got a suit, a grey striped suit and all that, and got fixed up.
What did you think of the quality of the suit?
Pardon?
What did you think of the quality of the suit?
Good. A good quality suit.
What about the choice?
Well, it was a great big choice, really. I think a blue stripe and grey stripe and a brown stripe. And I think that was about it.
So you were happy with yours?
Oh, aye, all mine, yeah.
Now, other veterans have talked about, so-called spibs being around, buying the suits off the soldiers, you know, as they came out.
Oh, some wide boys. You know, they were, you could smell them. You could see them outside, look at them there. And they give you a fiver for you. Well, you wanted that suit, because you only had what, khaki. So you wanted something to put up with, to put on when you got back home, didn't you? Because all your clothes on pre-war, they're no good. Too small.
So was there any kind of, anything else at York, apart from what we've talked about? Was there like a formal goodbye from the army?
No, I just said goodbye, thank you very much, but nothing, no handshakes or anything like that.
What did you feel when you were out of the army?
Oh, marvellous. I was going on train for Leeds. Oh dear, it was all right. Hey dear.
Now, you'd been demobbed. What about Alf? Did you keep in touch with Alf during the latter stages of your army service?
And I say, he got just demobbed just a few months before me. And then he went back to his job, I believe. And then, what happened? Oh, he got a job. This might have been before he went back to his usual job, but he got a job travelling for Better Belting. It's for factory belting on these machines. And he used to go around selling, taking orders for belting, which they were wanted at that time after the war. And he called around to see us at the shop, Alf. And then he got married and he went to live not far from where I lived in Leeds. And I used to have a van, mobile shopping van, you know, in those days, and fish and fruit and what have you. And funnily enough, I called on one house in New Farnley. And lo and behold, if he wasn't there, Alf living in Leeds. I saw Dot, his wife. I said, where is he? He's working at Better Belting now. Well, I thought, she got a few things off us. And I thought, well, by the way, we can't get part of me and Alf. Anyway, we exchanged calendars at Christmas for quite a while. But then they suddenly dropped off. I kept sending a calendar year after year, but we never got no answers or nothing. So, but when I did hear, he was in New Zealand.
So he emigrated to New Zealand?
Yeah, emigrating over to New Zealand.
Now, when you were demobbed, did you give any thought to staying in the army?
Pardon?
Had you given any thought to possibly staying in the army?
To stay in the army?
Did anybody ask you to stay?
Yeah, I nearly did, but in fact I think I would have done if I hadn't been able to come back to the shop.